Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, and today we're paying tribute to one of the most beloved movie stars of all time, Judy Garland. My producer, Nikki Starr, and I are honored to have Lorna Luft, one of Judy's talented daughters, and an accomplished performer in her own right, as our special guest. We'll also be hearing from film critics James Cole Harrison and Diana Sanger, both avid Judy Garland fans. I'm very excited and psyched up about the opportunity to talk with Lorna Luft. But before bringing her on, I want to remind listeners about her impressive background. She's won acclaim on stage, film, and she's also a best-selling author, recording artist, and Emmy-nominated producer. Her book, Me and My Shadows, Living with the Legacy of Judy Garland, was turned into a riveting miniseries, and Lorna served as co-executive producer on that project, which won 5 Emmy Awards. Another of Lorna's outstanding accomplishments is Songs My Mother Taught Me, a spectacular concert, and the CD based on this event was released last year on First Night Records. What a treat for me to welcome Lorna Luft to Movie Addict Headquarters. Hi, Lorna.
Hi, thank you so much.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you on our show, and
thank you
so much for agreeing to be our guest. But,
no, thank you.
But before getting started, James Cole Harrison wants to say hello to you. James wrote a history of MGM, and that's the studio where your mother made so many wonderful films. James, I know you have a welcome of your own for Lorna, so now's your chance.
I sure do. It's sort of like getting back with her again because we've met a couple of times for interviews, and she was so charming and so forthcoming and so down to earth that it's a pleasure to talk to stars who are like that. So, Lorna, I give you a great big kiss.
Oh, thank you.
and when James gives you a kiss, you know you've been kissed. So thanks, James. And Diana.
I don't say that to every star, believe me.
I know. You just save it for special ones. And Diana Sanger from Classic Movie Guide is also here. Hi, Diana. Say hello to Lorna.
Hello, Lorna. Thank you
so much for joining
us today.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
And thank you for keeping your mother's name and spirit and forever in our memories.
Oh, thank you so much.
I am just so happy that we could all be together today. And I wanted to start, Lorna, with this question. How did your mother influence your career as an actress and entertainer?
Well, you know, I think that when you grow up in a household of amazing talent and sort of the family business, you learn how it's done the right way. I watched my mom, and whenever she was on a stage, she gave 110%, and when she did the same in her films and her recordings and her radio concerts. And I think you just pick up on that. I think you just know where you come from.
I think that's a great answer. Can't imagine being around Judy Garland and knowing her personally and then being her daughter and not picking up on some of that terrific.
Yeah, but you see, I didn't know any different.
Oh, that's right, because you thought everybody had a mother like Judy Garland, right?
Well, no, I just didn't, as I said, I didn't know any better. So, I mean, meaning I didn't know anything different. I didn't know, you know, that's where I came from. So it was my normal.
This was the only thing for you to do, but I was wondering what your favorite Judy Garland films and performances are.
You know, I don't have a favorite because that would make all the others not my favorite. So I think each and every one of my mother's, you know, amazing accomplishments in her career, basically, you know, there's a favorite part of all of them.
I think that's a very good answer, Lorna. I have the feeling that someone has their speakers on, so if anyone does that, we need to turn them down. I'm getting just a little bit of bad sound here, but I think we should ask James and Diana about their favorite Judy Garland films and performances. James, you want to start?
Well, where do you start? As Lorna says, you know, every film has something great in it. But I think if I were pushed, I'd have to say the little black and white musical she made with Mickey Rooney, like Babes on Broadway and Strike Up the Band, Babes in Arms. Those were my favorites. I just loved those. They were so sweet and innocent and you know, everybody was nice, and it was like a fantasy world. Of course, it was MGM. Everything was a fantasy there, but those were the films that influenced me growing up.
Those were great. Those were great films. What about you, Diana?
Well, he stole my thunder. Those are my favorites, too, because
yours, too.
She was so fun, and you could tell she was having fun, so we were having fun watching her. Just this, you know, effervescent joy that always came out of her was just wonderful. But, you know, of course, I love The Wizard of Oz, as everybody does. I also really liked Meet Me in St. Louis a lot.
Those were great, too, and I certainly have to agree with you about her performance as Dorothy Gale in The Wizard of Oz.
Can I interject something?
Yes, please.
I think the reason that everyone loved her so much before The Wizard of Oz and all the black and white films is because you thought you knew her.
Yeah, that's it exactly.
You were convinced that you had known this person because of her honesty, and because in every single performance, her honesty, her talent was just so real and so genuine that's why everybody thought that, you know, she really were, you know, she they could relate to all of the characters that she played. If it wasn't the girl next door, if it was, you know, Aunt Mickey Rooney's friend and all the Andy and the, you know, the Andy Hardy things, you just thought that you knew her. She was so accessible.
Oh,
yeah,
I think that's true.
Yeah, you got
that's
that.
True. I always felt that, you know, I could just walk right up to Judy Garland and, you know, just start talking with her like she was a friend. And
yeah, because she was accessible.
Exactly.
And that's what made everyone fall in love with her, whether you were, you know, a kid or whether you were watching films as a teenager, whether you were an older person, you went to her movies and you thought, I know that person.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
I find it hard to pick a favorite movie, too, but I cannot not mention The Wizard of Oz again with what Diana said, because I have never seen such a heartwarming film performance in my life as the one that she gave as Dorothy Gale.
Well, I think it's just extraordinary that the performance that she gave, you would think that The Wizard of Oz, when you look at it, because it became such a, you know, an international, unbelievable, legendary film, that it had so many problems to begin with. It had, you know, four directors, and it had numerous writers, and it had numerous things that went on with the film that you would have never known unless you'd read the books about the making of The Wizard of Oz. And so basically, I just think it was always sort of extraordinary because, you know, I know how many directors I have worked with at one time, never mind working with four, never mind having everything change, never mind all of the things that happened on The Wizard of Oz, and that is a tribute to all of them, not only my mom, but every single character and every single actor in the film is just absolutely believable, and that's what makes the film work, is because you believe. And you believe every word they say, and you believe every song that they sing, and you believe the story. And the story is so simple. It's, you know, the story of home, heart, courage, and knowledge. I mean, who doesn't relate to that?
Well, that's for sure, and thank heavens, the filmmakers.
And love, you know. So, I mean, that's what the film is based on. When people ask me all the time, why do I think that it's lasted so long? Because it was a brilliantly made film with an incredibly simple message that everyone can relate to.
Exactly.
There's no place like home.
Exactly, and thank heavens the filmmakers changed their minds about cutting over the rainbow from finished production.
Well, that was really, you know, that was Arthur Freed really going to bat and saying, you know, if you don't put that song back in, I'll take my name off of it. And he really, Arthur Freed was such a wonderful champion of my mom. And Harold Arlen and Yip Harburg's score is so brilliant and simple and complicated and everything else. I mean, it's just everything in the movie is really, I'd say it's the most perfect movie ever made.
I would go along with that. I'm sitting here and looking at the poster, and it inspires me every day when I sit down to work here. It's actually more than a movie, but I think that Judy Garland is the one. Everybody had a part in it, but I think Judy is the one that made it something so very, very special. But
well, I think because of her unique vulnerability and her honesty, and you really did believe that, you know, that Dorothy was this wonderful, you know, wide-eyed child that just wanted to find a better place. And I think all of, you know, you wouldn't have believed it if they had chosen anyone else. I mean, it was just a real, it's a real tribute to my mother as an actor. And also all of the other characters. I mean, Bert Lahr's performance in that movie is truly,
it's wonderful,
but every single one in the movie is wonderful.
Yes,
and
perfect.
I'm, as you all know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm about to go do it on stage this whole winter in England.
Really?
Wow. Yes, I'm going to play Maggie Hamilton's role. I'm going green for the winter, and I'm playing the Wicked Witch.
Oh, I wish we could see it.
Oh, I know, but you're going to have to come all the way to Manchester, England to do it. So I am going, you know, it's a very chic and very in thing to be green. Well, I'm going green for the winter.
I think that's going to be, what a wonderful experience for you.
Well,
and
I think it's going to be fun because, I mean, it's not going to be fun taking on and putting on all that green makeup because I've already done it once. And let me tell you, it's not a day out at the park. But, it, you know, something, I mean, I've stayed away from it, and when they called me and asked me to do it this winter, and because I knew Margaret Hamilton and I'd met her several times and she was such a lovely and nice and wonderful woman, I thought to myself, wait, it's second generation Oz, and why not? And go have some fun, and I get to fly, and I get, it's going to be an absolute, I mean, I know that my mom would be sitting there just being hysterical laughing.
I'll bet she would.
Is this an adaptation of the film or the stage show Wicked?
No. It has nothing to do with Wicked. A while ago, the Royal Shakespeare Company did a really great version of the movie on stage, and that's basically what it is. In a way, they've taken more, with the RSC Company, they've taken more of the book. But we just, I was just in England a couple of days ago, and they did a sort of a Dorothy Idol, where all of Northern England came out to try to be the Dorothy. And it was a very, very hard choice, and we chose a girl who was 16.
Wow.
Because it's so important. I've seen productions of the show on stage, and when they pick a 21, 22-year-old person for Dorothy, you know it. And
not
so
right.
My mom was 15 and finished the movie when she was 16, so we picked a 16-year-old because there is an innocence and a wonderful wide-eyed quality. And as we all know, and maybe your listeners know, the original Dorothy in the book was a lot younger.
Oh, yes.
L. Frank Baum's book of The Wizard of Oz.
Right,
yes,
right.
Young girl. Yeah.
But Judy had she just had that youthful vulnerability and she just fit right in. Well, this is great good news to hear about your trip to England. So I hope you'll keep us posted on that.
Well, I'll be a little busy.
Right. We'll watch the press.
There you go.
Right. And speaking of the book, I wanted to ask you about your wonderful book, The Me and My Shadows, Living
mm-hmm.
with the Legacy of Judy Garland.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to write that, and what did you think of Judy Davis's performance in the TV adaptation?
I wrote my book because I'd been asked so many questions over and over and over and over and over again every single time that I, you know, went out of the house, basically.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I've come to peace with my legacy, and I had, you know, I'd run away from it for so long, and I did everything not to face my shadows. I dyed my hair purple and sang rock and roll and did all sorts of, you know, interesting things. And then I sat down and I said, you've got to make friends with the ghost. You really do. And that's when I began to really research where I'd come from. Why did I do certain things? What am I going to tell my children?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because a friend of mine, who's a wonderful girl, Patty Davis, who's, of course, her father was Ronald Reagan and her
right.
mom is, you know, the wonderful Nancy Reagan. And she said to me, and I always give her credit, she said, you don't really get to know your parents until you're in your 40s. And it really
mm-hmm.
was true for me because you sort of are making your own footsteps in the sand in your 20s and your 30s. You're having your children in your 40s. You really look back and think to yourself, what am I going to tell my children? What am I going to tell myself? So that's what I did, and that's why I wanted to write the book. I wanted to write the book, and I wrote my book going back into how I felt then, because
yeah.
I think that's what you have to do for the reader. You have to write it from a point of view of when you felt, when you were, you know, 11 and 12 and 13, and, you know, when you first begin to, you know, realize who you are as a youngster and all of that. You know, when people write books and they say, when I was three, I remember, you think, no, you don't. You don't remember when you were three, you know, when you were eight. Yeah, I'll buy it. Three, I'm not buying it. But I that's why I wrote the book. I wrote it so that that my children would have something to read. Their children would understand their legacy. I wrote my book because hopefully I can give another adult or a teenager or another child who has the disease of addiction in their home the reality of there is help out there and you can do this. And that, unfortunately, there wasn't help for my mom, but there was help for me. And
yes.
So that's one of the reasons that I wrote my book, so that people who were maybe thinking that they were in a tunnel and there is no light, that maybe they could pick up my book and read it and say to themselves, my gosh, you know, there is light. And there is a way out, and there is some kind, maybe it will give a hopeless person hope. So that's why I wrote the book. And then when it was turned into the miniseries, I mean, I was so, you know, I was so much on board with my producers, Craig Zaden and Neil Marin, and we were the ones who cast Judy Davis from the very beginning. We never thought of anybody else because she's an extraordinary actor, and she's fearless, and she's wonderful, and she is just she was a clean slate. You know, she's Australian, so she didn't know too much about my mom. She didn't grow up in America, and she didn't, you know, grow up, you know, watching all of the things that maybe an American actor had watched. And that's why we chose Judy Davis. And Tammy Blanchard was just extraordinary also, and she was just an unbelievable asset. I mean, everyone in the movie. It's a movie that I look at the five Emmys, you know, and I think to myself, we did a great job. And it was something that my mom would have been proud of. And I know that, you know, listen, to be nominated for 13 Emmys, win five, I'm not complaining.
Oh, who would complain
Absolutely.
About that? And it was.
I'm not complaining. I'm not. But, you know, it was, you know, one of the greatest awards that we won that I loved more than anything is when we won the Critics Award.
Yes.
Because I knew that the critics were gunning for, you know, us. Because, you know, sometimes these biopics come out and they're not very good. And I said to my director and everybody at ABC and everybody who was on board. I said, if we don't make this special, you know, you all will go on to other things, but this is my life on the line here, meaning that, like, they will always remember me. And everybody was on it for the right reason, and that's why it came out so special, and that's why to this day people come up to me and they say, that was the most amazing miniseries I've ever seen, and all I can say is thank you to everyone who loved it, enjoyed it, and, you know, who still, you know, goes out and buys the DVD and all of that of it.
Oh, it was riveting, absolutely riveting. Didn't you think so, James and Diana?
Absolutely. I think you really tapped into the whole persona. One of the personas of your mother was fearless, and like you said, that came across so well, and it's something that, you know, she lived her life with that, bless her heart.
Yeah, I mean, she was also fearless, but she was also incredibly strong, and she was incredibly funny, and she was giving, and yes, she was a victim. She was a victim of the studio system at that time. And I wanted to make sure that I told all the stories. If I didn't tell A, I couldn't go to right to Z. And that's why it was so important that it was done in the right way.
And it was done in the right way. Don't
you
agree, James?
I do agree. I read the book and saw the miniseries, and I have to say that I thought young Tammy Blanchard was a phenomenal actress.
Yeah, she was phenomenal, wasn't she?
Just absolutely wonderful. I had never seen her before, and I thought, where did you find her?
That was a brilliant performance, I agree.
Yes,
but it's tough for anyone to stand in for Judy Garland in my book, but I was really just glued to the TV when I saw that miniseries. And
yep.
I wonder if we could move now to another one of your amazing projects. And the one I'm talking about is Songs My Mother Taught Me. Could you tell us a little bit about that, Lorna?
Well, this is a show that I did 9 years. Almost 10 years ago that we did this show. And for my entire life, people wanted me to sing my mom's songs, and I never wanted to do them. I never wanted to go near them because they were frightening. They were overwhelming. They were just too big. And once I had written the book and then I had done the miniseries, and everyone said, when are you going to, you know, be able to pay tribute to this music? And I thought, I can do that now. I can do that. And one of the first people I called, my best friend, and I'm so lucky, has for the last God only knows how many years, has been Barry Manilow. And I called him, and I said, I think I'm ready to do that. And I was expecting to hear a very, very long, long, you know, speech about this. He said, oh, it's about time.
That's Barry.
Yeah. Oh, just cut to the chase. And, you know, I was so lucky because he then introduced me to two incredibly talented writers, Ken and Mitzi Welch, who had written all the Carol Burnett shows. And we sat down and, you know, 6 months later came up with a show that we've still been doing to this day. And we're incredibly proud of it. And then last year I was so lucky to go into the recording studio, not only with my talented husband, but with Barry, and we recorded the CD of Songs My Mother Taught Me, and I'm really proud of it. And it's finally out there, because people kept asking me, when can we have it? And it took a long time, because, you know, I wanted it to be done in the right way, and I wanted it to be also something that I had lived with for a long time and that I was comfortable with and that I could share with the audience. And the people who have bought the CD, I get calls all the time saying that how much they enjoyed it, and I'm just very, very grateful, and I thank everybody.
Well, you know, we have put on the site of Movie Addict Headquarters the cover of Songs My Mother Taught Me, and so I'm encouraging the listeners to click on that cover, and it'll take you right over to Amazon.com, and you can order that CD. And
mm-hmm.
Lorna, I think you've been gracious enough to give us permission to play a little selection from that CD. And do you want to tell us a little bit about the selection we're about to hear?
Well, I think it's a mother-daughter medley. And,
great.
As I said, it's something that Ken and Mitzi, myself, my husband, we put together, and through the genius of technology now, were able to, you know, put two orchestras and put her voice and my voice and together. And of course, you know, I'm not the first to do this. I think Hank Williams Jr. was really quite the first, and then Natalie Cole did it, and I think Lisa Marie Presley has done it now, and I think a lot of people have been able to do this. And what a wonderful thing that we're able to do that. How wonderful that we're able to sing with our loved ones and put this out to the public and be able to fill a void that the public wants and be able to say, we can do this now, because they're not here anymore.
I know. I think this is just terrific. So we're going now to hear this mother-daughter medley, and thanks to my wonderful producer, Nikki Starr, for helping us to get this to the show. I'm going to click on now, and here is the mother-daughter medley.
My head is to the pillow, nearer than the wind is to the willow, dearer than the rain is to the earth below. Precious as the sun to the things that grow, you're nearer than the ivy to the wall is, nearer than the winter to the I can't give you
I've got chills, and I just checked in the chat room, and people are saying the same thing.
Aww.
Several listeners have already clicked in to order the CD.
Oh, good.
They're just loving it. I cannot thank you enough, Lorna, for letting us play it on our show.
Oh,
what
sure.
What did you think about it, James?
Well, I'll tell you, Lorna, you're giving your mother a run for her money in the singing department.
You know,
thank you. I mean, really, it's tough to compete with Judy Garland, but I think you've done it.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I wouldn't ever say that. I thank you very, very, that's a huge compliment. Thank you.
Well, you're being too modest. You're an extremely talented young lady, and you were marvelous on this song, and I hope everybody runs out and gets this CD.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and Diana, do you feel the same way?
Oh, absolutely. It almost brought tears to my eyes just reflecting and thinking and listening, and oh gosh, what a wonderful talent she was. Thank you.
Well, I couldn't have done that without my amazing husband, who is incredibly talented, and he put all those orchestrations together, and he put the, you know, did that, and Barry Manilow. So I'm very grateful. And
what's your husband's name?
My husband's name is Colin Freeman.
Well,
and
congratulations to him too.
Oh
yes, absolutely.
He had a big part of this.
And to
Barry
Manilow.
I will tell him. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Please do. Could you tell us the names of some of the other songs that are on the CD?
Oh my gosh, there's everything from Rockabye to a brilliant, I have to say, 17-minute medley that the Welches wrote for me, and it's a whole story of me telling my children with my children's actual voices about their grandmother. And there's everything. There's A Man That Got Away and Rockabye and Hello Bluebird and Chicago. And it's got, you know, basically mainly most of, you know, the famous songs that, of course, that people know and they grew to love with my mom introducing them.
Swanee? Does it have Swanee?
Yes, there is Swanee, but it's in the medley. It's, you know, we couldn't, I mean, if we did all of my mom's songs, the medley, you know, I mean, the CD album, listen to me, my kids always make fun of me. lucky I don't call it a record, because then they really go loopy with me. It would be 4 days long, so it's there are parts of everything. Nobody gets disappointed, let's put it that way.
Oh,
I'd like to mention a nice word about your father, Sid Luft, who is a famous producer and married to Judy Garland. And I believe that he was probably the best thing that had happened to her at that time of her life. And I just wanted to say a nice thing about him because...
Oh, that's very kind of you.
He doesn't always get the credit, but I think he's the one who held her together for a long time.
I think that, yes, and I also think that my mother's talent, my mother's... you know, incredible, always looking for someone to make it better. I think they, I think my mother gave him, you know, a career to be really, you know, to be really quite honest, though. So,
right.
I mean, if it weren't for her talent and her, her being so, I guess, in search of somebody to take care of her, you know, that's what it was at the time.
Well, he certainly did a lot to help. Well, they helped each other. Let's put it that way. And you know, Lorna, I forgot to ask a very important question.
Okay.
And that is, do you know whether your mother had any favorite co-stars?
You know, everybody she worked with was her favorite at the time. The same as you know, I do. I mean, when I'm doing a show or I'm doing a you know whatever. Project I'm involved with, it's that's the time at the moment, and then we all sort of go on to other things. So I mean, everyone that she worked with, she really, really enjoyed. There were certain directors that she didn't enjoy very much, and unfortunately, you know, they weren't the nicest of people, and there were certain directors that she was not very, that were not very nice to her, and they just, but they got incredible performances out of the people that they did work with, but they weren't very nice people. So that was the only thing that my mom, I know, you know, would ever say that she would think about her coworkers.
Well, you know, I thought that she and Gene Kelly had the greatest chemistry together on screen.
Oh, they really liked each other. Gene's widow, Patricia Kelly, is a good friend of mine, And Patricia always said that Gene, you know, really adored my mom. And I know that, well, she sort of discovered Gene and put him, of course, in for me and Mike Allen.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. Oh,
yeah,
I think that was his first movie.
Was. Yeah, and she discovered him. So
I loved them singing the title song. And then they were together again in The Pirate, which is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
And Summer Stock, where she sang that Get Happy.
Right.
Get Happy. That's a great one.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, that is a good one. And her
she was in top form with that number. It was just great. And do you have any favorite co-stars of Judy Garland, Diana?
Well, I go back to those early black and whites, her and
Mickey. Oh, with Mickey Rooney.
I think they were just, you know, born in the same crib. And we just enjoyed them together so much. They gave us such incredible early films. It was just wonderful.
And she was also great with Fred Astaire in Easter Parade.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, just recently, Ava Astaire, Fred's daughter, was with me in England, and she's a wonderful, wonderful lady. And when she, you know, Ava said, you know, my dad really loved your mom. I said, my mom really loved your dad. You know, so, I mean, there was a big mutual, I guess, admiration, and really, they really really cared about each other, Fred and my mom.
And that came across in Easter
yeah.
Parade. They were just so good together
yes.
in that. And, that one of the all the musical numbers in that were just perfect, I thought. And I don't want the show to go by, Lorna, without you telling us more about some of your projects. We know about you going to England now to be the Wicked Witch of the West, and we know about your CD and your book. And
well, the biggest project, well, as I sit here on this wonderful show talking with you, my husband and I are packing up our house because we're moving.
Oh.
Which is always stressful and always, you know, sort of hideous. And
absolutely.
All of that, and so we're that's the project that I have at the moment. My life is in boxes right now around me, and so we're moving houses right now. And I know that it'll be great when we get to our new house, but just packing up an older house and a house you've been in for a long time, I don't know a horror movie that'll scare you more than moving.
Right.
So, you know, between that and getting ready to go to England, and I've just come back from, you know, 2 months in Australia, which I was on tour with, and it was amazing. And now I'm in the middle of boxes.
Well,
so my life right now is sticky tape and boxes.
So, well, we're I cannot believe this happens to every show, but this is not enough time for us to discuss you.
Well,
it's your wonderful mother. We need another show almost. So I don't know. Maybe we can work that out. But I just want to again just tell you how much we're honored by your appearance today.
Oh, well,
you're just a joy.
Thank you.
To talk with and to have that medley, mother-daughter medley. Is just one of the most wonderful things that we've ever had on this show, and we wish you continuing success with your remarkable career. Your mother would be so proud of you, right, James and Diana?
Absolutely.
Oh, she sure would. Yes, absolutely. Lorna has always been a sweetheart. Now my third time talking to her, and I can't say enough nice things about her.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And the very, very best to you. And James and Diana, it's always fun having you on our show. I know we'll be hearing from you both again soon, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Thanks,
Eddie. Thank you so much, and thanks to all the listeners.
Oh, yes, and they've been just spellbound with what you've told us and the music that you shared with us. So this is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their help in connection with this show. Special thanks again to Lorna Love for being such a super guest and to Nikki Starr for everything she does to make this show happen. Thanks to Demos for helping out with the chat, and to everyone who listened live or to the archives or participated in the chat. And I'm sorry we didn't have time for people to call in, but there was just so much to cover today. And don't forget, dear listeners, to protect yourself from identity theft, the fastest growing crime in America, by going to lifelock.com, that's LIFELOCK, lifelock.com, and signing up for the services there. You'll receive a 10% discount if you use our code, which is REALTALK, REETALK, and it's all one word. I'm going to deviate from our usual schedule and close the show with the beautiful, beautiful mother-daughter medley.
Willow, dearer
precious as the sun to the things that grow. You're nearer than the ivy to the wall is.
Share. Ooh,
star to guide you, shining bright, though clouds may come and hide you. The peace.